this morning. If you'd like a bulletin, go ahead and send up in hand. One will be brought to you. As always, the service times are there on the upper left-hand side. Don't forget, we'll be back tonight at 5:30 p.m. Again, this Thursday at 7, we're going through the book of Exodus. We'll be in chapter 25. You have the salvations, the baptisms, as well as the attendance and offerings below that. And there's really not a lot in the way of announcements this week, but we do have some big ones with the ones that are in there. Of course, there's several prayer requests. One, of course, for Brother Gabriel and Miss Kayla. They're getting married this coming week. So Saturday, it's countdown to the end of his bachelorhood. So say goodbye to the old Gabriel, you know. Sayonara, glad to see him go. Probably nobody more so than himself. So I got a pick on him, like, I still have a chance. So anyway, we're very excited for him and Kayla. So I'll be up at the wedding as well, attending that. For some reason, he thought to invite me. I don't know why. But anyway, we're going to be up there and be bringing my two oldest with me. And so this next Sunday, Brother Reggie Noble will be coming down. He's a faithful member up there at Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe. He's filled in several times for us now, and he always does a good job, so I've asked him to come preach. So please come out, show your support, and if you can, make it next week, so he has a crowd to preach to. I know he'll be blessed for it. And also, continue to pray for some of our other prayer requests. You can take note of there. There on the bottom, I'll mention again, we have the, it says potential church plant in St. Louis. I signed the lease yesterday. So we are August 1st, the building's ours. It's pretty close to what we used to have over there in what suite 165, probably a little bit bigger. But it's definitely gonna fill the need for the time being. I think there's gonna be probably around 20 to 30 people, the initial startup there, and then there's enough room to grow. I had a good conversation with Brother Eric, who's gonna be kind of heading things up there for us, and you know, holding down the fort. And we're going to have the soft opening August, that Sunday, so August 3rd will be just kind of a, not really an official opening. I'm just kind of give them a chance to get the building, kind of get a feel for things, get the order of services down, that kind of stuff. And then we'll have an official opening on Sunday, September 7th. That'll be our official opening there in St. Louis a month later. And I'll fly out for that service and preach there. But be in prayer for that, and that continues to grow. The soul winning there has been very fruitful in the last several weeks as well. We've already got, you know, there was a great testimony yesterday where a guy got saved and then actually came out with them. Or he already was saved, I can't remember exactly. But he just met a guy out soul winning. He's like, hey, can I come do this with you? So. And it's one of those places, really, where people are looking for a church like ours. I really believe that. There are a lot of Baptist churches being there in St. Louis, being that, you know, part of the country where you have a lot of that. But they're pretty lame, to be perfectly honest. They're pretty watered down, and a lot of them are preaching, you know, repent of your sins, heresy, and they aren't, you know, even the ones that are solid in a lot of ways aren't doing the work. And that's really what we want to do. Is we want to just go out there. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to, you know, exalt ourselves. We just want to do the work. You know, we just want to see the gospel preached. We want to see souls saved there in St. Louis. I believe it's another one of those many fields that are even in our nation that are white unto harvest. It's simply a lack of laborers that we have today. So I'm very grateful that we have a group of people there in St. Louis that have a burden for their town and want to see a church like this started. So I know I'm kind of taking a minute and emphasizing it, but it is a big deal. It's a big deal that a new church is going to be planted, and I just ask that you please be in prayer for that. Also pray for Brother Adam. I'm sure he doesn't mind me sharing. I know he's sick right now, dealing with several health issues that hopefully will resolve soon. He did ask for prayer, so I thought I'd just mention that too. Also, we got over on the right-hand side the scripture memorization verse. Well, we got last week was maybe a little bit of a longer one for the kids, right? Now you got a nice short one, so it's kind of breaking itself up here. And I got to say, I noticed, I was here yesterday and I checked the freezer. Now, I didn't partake any of the ice cream that's in there. Okay, that's a good boy. But I noticed there was a lot there. I haven't had to buy ice cream to fill these treats. And I'm going, why is this? Is this the kids not doing this? So I'm going to get after you a little bit this morning and say, let's make sure we're doing these things, memorizing these things. I mean, good night, you get free ice cream out of it to memorize a verse. You got 7 days from now to memorize a few verses take a matter of, a few minutes sometimes, and come to church and have ice cream. So I don't know what's better than that, especially as a kid. But that will be all this morning as far as announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into preaching this morning.
Please turn your Bibles to song number 69. Reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me.
When I wept, chasing my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and that was a song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul, and redeem me. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comfort, I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be dark, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be rid of the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, send me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor, and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise the seas, and everything that moveth therein. For God shall save Zion, and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there, and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Brother Brandon, would you pray for us?
Father God, thank you for the blessing that is to gather in your house on a Sunday morning with your people around your word, Lord. We pray that you would fill our hearts and minds and prepare us to receive and act on your word, Lord, and fill the pastor with your spirit, that he may speak boldly, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
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 So this morning I want to preach on the topic of depression and heaviness. Depression and heaviness, so maybe not the uplifting sermon you were hoping for this morning, but it is something that we all have to deal with
from time to time. Just because that's the nature of life. And really, these two terms are interchangeable terms. They're synonymous terms, depression and heaviness. You don't find the word depression in the Bible. But what we do find is the word heaviness. And I believe that's really what the Bible is referring to, or rather, maybe that's what we're referring to. We're referring to heaviness when we're saying depression. It's the same thing. And again, I'll say that it's something that's important to preach about. I don't know that it's anything I've actually dedicated a whole sermon to. And full disclosure, I don't know that anyone is dealing with depression. I'm not trying to pick on anybody this morning, but there's a good chance that perhaps we are, and most certainly we all will at some point, just because of the source of depression. Full disclosure, again, you wonder how I come up with my sermons. I just have a topical list, and I just use a random number generator, and I just pick that topic. And it's amazing to me how often I do that, and someone will say, I don't do that all the time, but how often I'll do that, and someone will say that's exactly what I needed. So maybe there's someone out there this morning that needs to hear this right now, but take note of these things, because as I was beginning to say, in all likelihood, in fact, it's almost a certainty, in fact, I would say it is a certainty, that you at some point in your life are going to have to deal with heaviness. You're going to have to deal with depression. Just because of its source. Life throws things at us. We have difficulties. We have hardships. We suffer great losses. We go through grief and mourning, and that's a source of heaviness that can be a source of depression. Okay, so these are things we're all going to have to deal with. It's something I know in my personal life I've had to deal with, and even Christ himself is somebody that dealt with heaviness, and we see that in the Scripture. Of course, Psalm 69 is a very prophetic psalm talking about Christ. If you look there in verse 20, it says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. So often, you know, that's one of the more depressing things about being depressed. It seems like nobody understands often, right? It seems like we look for pity, we look for somebody to sympathize, to help us, but often we feel like there are none. Well, hopefully this sermon can be a source of help to you, either if you are going through that a time of heaviness or inevitably when you inevitably are going through it. And one of the first things I'd point out here is that, again, heaviness or depression is something that affects our hearts. It affects our spirits. It's something that affects all of our lives because it affects us inwardly. It touches, you know, every part of our life simply because, you know, it's touching us and affecting us on a very deep level when it comes to this topic of heaviness or depression. It says there that his reproach had broken his heart and he was full of heaviness. If you would, go over to Proverbs chapter number 12. You don't have to keep anything there in Psalm 69. We're just going to look at several verses this morning. Go over to Proverbs chapter 12. Heaviness, you know, is a depression. It's a stooping, as we're going to see here in a minute. It's a bringing low. It's being under pressure, right? It's being kept down. It's something that affects our hearts as well. So it says there in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. A good word maketh it glad. So and that's my hope this morning, is to make glad the heart that is stooping, to make glad the person that might be dealing with depression. And I really just want to give you some things at the end, some very practical matters, not an all-encompassing list, obviously, when it comes to this matter of depression, but maybe just some practical things that you can do if you find yourself, or when you inevitably do find yourself, going through a season of depression. And again, let me start out by just saying that I believe in such a thing as clinical depression, and I know that's not something you hear from a lot of Baptist preachers, and I feel like, especially, you know, for a long time, that we Baptist preachers kind of just paint with these broad brushes and kind of, and doing so kind of just broadly sweep aside things that are very real. I believe that clinical depression is a real thing. Obviously, there's the source of depression that just comes through experiences in life, the loss of a loved one, loss of, you know, great turmoil and change that causes depression. But I do believe that, you know, there are people that have even chemical, neurological, you know, imbalances, neurological problems, because that's where that stuff comes from. And in fact, that's why some of the things that I'm going to tell you this morning to do actually work, because they do affect our brains on a neurological level. Okay, and I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I don't pretend to be one. I don't play one from the pulpit. I'm a pastor. I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. But I believe that, you know, there are even people that maybe what I'm going to give you this morning is not enough. Okay. Obviously, you know, using pharmaceuticals and things like that, it gets a little touchy. But I'm not certainly going to get up here and be somebody that says that there's never an instance for that kind of thing, because I am not a medical professional. I'm out of my field of expertise. That's beyond my depth. Okay, I will say that. Obviously, in our culture, in the world that we're living in, that's kind of the knee-jerk reaction. Anytime people go through any kind of discomfort or depression, they just want to take a pill and be done with it because of, you know, they don't want to do the actual hard work maybe themselves of doing some more practical things that would lift them out of a depression without having to resort to pharmaceuticals, okay? But don't take that as me saying there's never an instance in which that is the appropriate thing, okay? I do think that it's something that we should be cautious about. It should be more of a last resort. And obviously that's something that people should seek advice and counsel of outside of, you know, what I'm going to give you this morning. In any case, you know, I just kind of a disclaimer there. I want to again bring us back to the topic here. We're dealing with the topic of heaviness and depression. And again, it's something that affects our heart. And this is why it's so important, because, you know, as a man thinketh, you know, in his heart, so is he, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if our spirit and our heart is being affected in some way, we're being depressed, or we're dealing with heaviness, it's going to affect those around us. It's going to affect our whole outlook on life. It's going to affect how we move through the world. It's an important topic. And I believe a lot of people are dealing with it. And as I've said many times already, everyone, I believe, at some point, in all likelihood, will. If you look there in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, we just read that. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. That's my intention this morning, to make it glad, to let you know that there is relief that can be found, that there is a way to deal with it, that it's not something that you just have to endure for the rest of your life. If you would go over to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 13. Again, just going to give you some verses that help clarify what exactly is heaviness. What is depression this morning? It says there in verse 13 of Proverbs 14, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. Okay, so again, the heaviness is a type of sorrowing. That's what depression is, just a sadness in our hearts. Go over to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. And let me begin by saying that if you're somebody that is dealing with depression, you know, that doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It's a natural thing. In fact, if you're a person who never went through a season of depression or heaviness or sorrow, you know, when it's warranted, especially, you know, the tragic loss or even just the natural loss of somebody, if that just didn't affect you in this way, I'd worry that maybe you were some kind of a sociopath or something. That would be more concerning, right? That would be more alarming to you, just be unfazed by things that naturally bring us sorrow, that naturally make us feel heavy in life. So, again, that's sometimes I think that's the trap that people get into when they get depressed, when they go through sorrow, is that they just feel like, there's something wrong with them. And it's not that there's necessarily anything wrong, it's just that we don't want to remain that way. We want solutions, okay? Look at, you're going to Matthew, I've got a couple of verses I'll just read to you. It says in Romans chapter number 9 that Paul said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And he was burdened for, of course, his kinsmen in the flesh, the lost house, you know, the Israelites, right? His kinsmen, okay? He was sorrowful that they were not saved, right? So there are things that will bring sorrow, heaviness into our lives. That's perfectly natural. That's to be expected, okay? We're going to sorrow over the lost loved one that dies and goes to hell. That's just natural. We're going to sorrow over the saved loved one that dies and goes to heaven. You know, we're not going to mourn as others who have no hope, but nonetheless, you know, we are going to mourn in some way. At least there's that silver lining that we'll see them again. Not so when, you know, someone that we care about and love goes to hell. Obviously, that's a very sorrowful thing. That's a heaviness. That's normal to feel that kind of thing. And obviously, there's other things in our lives that will bring sorrow into our lives. My point here is that Paul is somebody who felt heaviness. And Paul was the guy that said, rejoice evermore, right? And he said, and again, I say rejoice. You know, he was somebody that probably, in all likelihood, had a lot of joy and love in his life, a lot of rejoicing and peace in his life, but he also dealt with heaviness and sorrow. We don't want to get this idea that discomfort and sorrow and depression are things that we should never experience. What we need to do is understand that it's inevitable, and when those things happen, how are we going to deal with it? Also, what can we do to lessen those things when they happen? And that's maybe what I'm going to get into more with the more practical stuff at the end here. Even the Lord dealt with this, as we just kind of noticed there in Psalm 69, but again here out of his own mouth in Matthew 26, verse 37, he said, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy, right? So again, that's, you know, a use of that word. That's what we would call depression, being very heavy, right? Just feeling like we're weighed down. And he, the Lord, is feeling very sorrowful and heavy, right? So, and rightfully so. Obviously, he knows he's going to face the mocking and the ridicule and the scorn and ultimately his painful death and, you know, the torments of hell. So that's a very natural reaction. And he said unto them in verse 39, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. So you can see how even unto death, he said, how this is something that affects us at the very core of our being. This is why we need to have maybe some practical ways to lessen these things, to lift ourselves up out of these things, and to not always feel so sorrowful. So again, it's a lack of joy, it's a lack of peace, it's a lack of happiness. Obviously, there's times where that's appropriate, but we don't want that to be the defining characteristic of our lives, a life void of joy and peace. We don't want to be people who are continually depressed. So we want to talk this morning about how to heal this, how to recover from these things, how to lessen them. If you would, and I know I've got you kind of going back and forth, just bear with me this morning. It's Sunday morning. Hopefully you're well rested. go to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 again. I guess I should have told you to keep something there. Go ahead and keep something there. We're going to look at a couple things in Proverbs and in Psalms this morning. How to heal heaviness. How to deal with depression. What do we do? Well, first of all, we have to understand that, you know, it's something that's going to happen. It's something that's going to come to us in life. We see that Paul dealt with it. We see that the Lord himself dealt with it. And Peter even tells us, he said in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though for now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There are going to be seasons, there are going to be times that are where it's just necessary, that it's unavoidable, it's inevitable that we deal with heaviness through the manifold temptations, trials, difficulties, low points in our lives. These are to be expected. How do we heal from these things? How do we deal with them? Well, let me begin by just kind of, you know, dismissing maybe a certain philosophy or an attitude that's out there. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 20. This is more of what we don't do, okay? It says in verse 20, as he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to an heavy heart. So the person who sings songs, right, and obviously it's the Proverbs dealing with opposites, right? Taking away a garment in cold weather is the opposite thing that you want to do, right? The person that sings songs to somebody who has a heavy heart, you know, might come across as just unsympathetic. And obviously the songs, you know, we're talking about probably happy songs, right? Oh, you're feeling down? Let me sing you a little ditty and make you feel better, right? Again, sorrow and of heart and depression and heaviness is something that can affect us on a very deep, powerful, visceral level, right? And it affects every bit of our lives. So it's, you know, we like to think that there's these little simple solutions where, you know, I can just say something to you, or I can just recite some poem, or tell you a joke, or sing a little song and just lift your spirits. You know, that might help for a moment, right? That might lift your, that might give you some relief in a moment, but is that really going to fix the problem where it lies? You know, me thinking that, it'd be like me taking away your coat in the middle of winter. It'd be like pouring vinegar upon nitre. They just don't go together, okay? And, you know, I thought about this verse, and I thought this kind of reminds me of people who just kind of have this get over it attitude. Hey, just suck it up, get over it. And look, there's some times where we just need to suck it up. I get it. You know, we as men, we, you know, and ladies too, moms, you know, we all go through our things, our low points, and we, you know, the duties and demands of life are still thrust upon us. We have to continue to perform. We can't just call in and check out and just say, I'm feeling down. You know, we still have to show up and do our duties. People are relying on us. So I understand that, but we don't want to just, you know, when we have friends, acquaintances, family members, people, that even ourselves that are going through these things, we should just have this attitude of, well, you just need to get over it. You know, just you know, as every husband has said to his wife when she gets upset, just relax, all right? They love that when you say that, by the way. Calm down, all right? That just makes them not even less calm, right? But that's kind of how we can be, even with people who are, you know, going through something, really suffering. We can just be like, well, you know, just suck it up and get over it. Well, we need to be careful, because that's not necessarily any kind of a solution, right? That's not really helping people. What people need, I believe, are actionable advice. They need habits that they need to form. They need to start doing things in their lives for themselves to begin to lift themselves up out of depression and to get over the heaviness. And really, that's kind of, you know, and again, a lot of what I'm going to talk about here this morning when it comes to these actionable habits are pretty generic, and there's nothing profound here. But often, I mean, these are the things that will bring the most benefit to people. And I, you know, it's things we should probably be doing anyway. But if we're going through depression, if we're going through heaviness, you know, we need to ask ourselves, maybe take stock and kind of step back and see how we're living. How are we, you know, living our lives? What are we doing on a day-to-day basis? Okay? And again, this isn't, you know, what I'm going to give you here is not just, you know, me singing you a song. to a heavy heart. These are things that will affect our physiology, our neurology. These are the things that will help lift us up out of depression, I believe. The first thing, and if you would, go over to Proverbs chapter 20, and I know this is real generic, and this is just very everyday advice. You know, it's the same thing your parents told you since you were a kid, is go to bed. Go to bed, right? It's been said, nothing good happens after 9 o'clock. And after 2 a.m., it's certainly nothing good is going on, right? After 9 p.m., there's really nothing to stay up for, right? But, what I'm trying to get across here, go to Proverbs 20 if you haven't already, is that, if you're somebody who's dealing with a chronic depression, you should look at your sleep. And this is something we should all be doing anyway, because, in our modern culture, in our hustle, rise and grind, hustle culture that we live in, where it's just go, 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 we as Americans and Westerners, we have a tendency to, if we get busy, we'll sacrifice probably the one thing that will make us more productive than anything else, which is our sleep. We'll just say, oh, I've got it. Well, I'll just get up earlier. I'll just stay up later. I'll just start burning the candle at both ends. Well, that's a recipe for disaster, to crash and burn. Regular sleep pattern. We need to be people who, go to bed at a certain time. And look, I understand this, every mother with a young child is rolling her eyes at me right now, or has ever had one, right? Regular sleep pattern, Pastor, really? Like, I get it. There's times and seasons where that's literally impossible, right? Because infants and babies, they have their own sleep schedule. We'd be here all morning if I tried to cover every subtle nuance in life, right? But let me just quickly throw out, what I've learned having, been married and seeing my wife go through raising young children is that, mothers, if possible, should probably just sleep when the baby sleeps. Get on their schedule, right? That's was good advice that was given to my wife, and it has certainly helped at least alleviate, sleep deprivation that many mothers go through with young children, because they keep all kinds of hours, don't they? Sleep when they sleep. If the baby goes to sleep at 2 in the afternoon, get your Z's in with them. Kind of stay on their schedule, because you're going to be on their schedule anyway, right? At 2 a.m., they're not going to start throwing a fit and go, oh, I'm sorry, were you trying to sleep? Right? They're going to still demand whatever it is that they're demanding. So, for the rest of us, right, that aren't being, interrupted by the needs of an infant or whatever, we need to, as best we can, make sure that we're getting regular sleep in our lives. Now is not the time to do that. Okay, we're in church, right? But, you need to make sure you're getting sleep. Every day, everyone's saying 7 to 9 hours, somewhere in that window. I get it. Everyone's a little different, okay? And I understand that that's not always possible, but, it's amazing how even one bad night rest affects you the next day. I mean, I know that's true in my own life. If I don't get at least 7 hours of sleep, at a minimum, my next day, my whole life is just like over. I wake up, nothing's right, everything's wrong. What's the point? You know you're doing it too. It's like, okay, I just need to go to bed, right? Or that I'm hungry, right? But it's amazing how when you get that full night's sleep, right? And I've heard it said that it takes four nights of regular of good sleep to make up for one bad night of sleep. So, if you're not depressed now, you will be by the time I get done talking about this, okay? Because that's depressing probably for a lot of us. You're like, I haven't had a good night's sleep in months, years, right? But, when you do get that good night's rest, when you do get a good sleep in, boy, you wake up the next morning and it's like, you're going to the same job, it's the same routine, but it just seems like, hey, life couldn't be better. Everything's great. I mean, sleep makes such a huge difference in our lives. And so often people who are dealing with depression, if you talk to them, their sleep is just all over the place. There's no regularity to it. It's not on a regular pattern. They're not getting enough of it. They're sleeping when everybody else is awake. They're awake when everybody else is sleeping. We are all, I don't buy this whole thing of night owls and early birds. Okay, that's all based on evolution and things like that, which I dismiss out of hand. you know, we are creatures that rise and set and settle with the sun. I believe that. We have what's called a circadian rhythm. Okay, and that's something that's been documented. So if you're somebody that's out of rhythm with, you know, just nature itself and the rest of the working world, you know, you need to work on that. Fix it. Get on a regular circadian rhythm. And that just means circa, you know, about, you know, Cadian a day, about 24 hours. Our bodies go through all these processes. And I've talked about this, and it's fascinating to me, but I know a lot of people aren't into this, and I'll try not to bore you with a lot of science and things like that. But our bodies have all of our systems, all the release of different hormones. Cortisol gets released every 24 hours. Adenosine, the sleep hormone, builds up over the course of 24 hours. It's all been documented. There's studies on this, peer-reviewed. This is hard science that I'm giving you this morning. And if you're out of whack with that rhythm, that circadian, that 24-hour rhythm, you know, you need to fix it, okay? And one of the, you know, we don't want to be out of sorts here when it comes to our sleep. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13. He says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." So he's not saying don't ever sleep. He's just saying don't be somebody that sleeps to the point where you actually become poor. Wake up when you're supposed to wake up and sleep when you're supposed to sleep. The Bible says in Psalm 127, I'll read to you, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep." You know, sleep is a very important thing that God has built us to need. It's something that, you know, is just in our biology. And we need to make sure that we have a pattern to it. And, you know, I try to get at least, you know, because obviously we have different schedules. You know, we try to get a regular sleep schedule going. And as long as you're hitting that about 90% of the time, you're probably going to be much better off. But look, if you're somebody that's dealing with depression, you need to make sure that, you know, if you're going to try to solve this thing and fix it and actually do something about it, if your sleep is off, that's where you begin. That's the first thing you need to fix as a depressed person. I believe that, okay? And look, and you say, well, no, my sleep's more clinical in nature, or my depression's clinical in nature. Yeah, but you know what? Any physician will probably tell you the exact same thing that I'm telling you right now. Because I'm referring to people who study the brain. I'm talking about things that people have discovered through science. Physicians prescribe these things. Get a good night's sleep. Get a sleep pattern going. Don't sabotage it. You need to adjust your circadian rhythm. You say, well, you know, I'm all out of whack. I'm up in the middle of the night. I'm sleeping during the day. Moms, you all get a pass. We already talked about that. But the rest of us, we need to be on a regular sleep schedule. And one of the best ways you can do this is to get your circadian rhythm fixed. And look, you can do this, and this is really fascinating. Okay, I'm going to bore you. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Because if I've got these things swimming around in my head, I might as well share them anyway. Okay, and we all have a cluster of cells above the roof of our mouth called the charismatic supernucleus. I believe that's how you say it. Okay, and it's literally a cluster of cells above the roof of your mouth that communicates to the rest of your body, to every cell in your body, where you are in the 24-hour clock, where you are in the day, right? Because your body can't perceive light, okay? But this suprachiasmatic nucleus, I said charismatic, suprachiasmatic nucleus, cluster of cells, say that five times fast, that is the cluster of nerves in your head that tells the rest of your body where you are in a 24-hour period when it comes to the sun. And you say, well, how does that cluster of cells, the suprachiasmatic nucleus, once I can say big long words, I love to say them, right? How does that know? Because of the retina ganglion cells in your eyes that are actually on the lower part of your eyes that are made to, you know, have the sun hit it at certain times during the day. That's why it's so important to get outside, folks. I mean, we're living in a time where people just never get outside. And there's people that are literally shut-ins. They stay inside all day. They draw the shades. The only light is you know, the overhead lighting. Or it's, you know, some screen, some blue light that's hitting their eyes. And look, that just throws everything off when it comes to your sleep. Your body doesn't know where it is. It's thinking it's, you know, what time of day is it? It can't know. The only way it can know is through UV light that is communicated to those cells in your eyes relay to that cluster of cells, which then tells literally every cell in your body where it is in the 24-hour days. That way it knows when to release cortisol, which is a stress hormone, which is not a bad hormone. Okay, you need to have, that's the one that makes you feel like, I got to get something done. You want that to happen as early in the day as possible. You know, and you want to, you know, get up, get some sun in your eyes, and feel like, all right, let's get to work. That's cortisol pumping through your system. And everyone's like, oh, it's a stress hormone. The stress is so bad. Elevated levels of continual stress, yeah. And then, you know, throughout the day, the adenosine builds up in our system. And so then at night, the parasympathetic system takes over in our bodies, which makes us feel sleepy when the sun's going down and we go to bed. So the best way to adjust your circadian rhythm, I know I'm kind of rambling right now, which is something you should do if you don't have a regular sleep pattern, is actually to view low-angle light in the morning and in the evening. There's a certain spectrum of UV light that is only perceived by those retina ganglion cells during when the sun is near the horizon. This is fascinating to me, right? That's what the Bible says, I believe it's Ecclesiastes, it's a pleasant thing for man's eyes to behold the sun. I'm kind of paraphrasing. When I first learned that verse popped into my mind, that it's a pleasant thing for a man's eyes to behold the sun. So, you know, no sunglasses. People say and prescribe that you should get low-angle light because that particular spectrum of light that's only comes during when the sun is at its lowest points near the horizon, within a few hours, obviously, you know, that tells your whole body it's morning, it's night. And that one thing, and look, I remember I was having trouble sleep. I started doing this. I took this advice, and lo and behold, I found myself waking up just before sunrise, and I found myself getting sleepy, you know, in the evenings just naturally, okay? And I didn't have to start relying on external things to put me to sleep, okay? My body learned how of its own self how and when to release its own melatonin. I didn't have to go buy some, you know, store-bought melatonin and ingest it in hopes of putting myself to sleep. You know, this is a natural thing that you could use. The sun, it's like God has given us these things to help us have a regular sleep pattern. You say, well, why is that important? Because one of the reasons why people get so depressed is because they're not getting enough sleep. Or their sleep is all over the place. Okay? And again, I understand that this isn't a cure-all for everything, but if you're not doing at least this, regular sleep, you know, you need to work on that. Here's another thing. Don't sabotage your sleep with screens. I know that's super illiterated, but hey, I'm a preacher. What do you expect? You know, there should be about an hour or more before bedtime, all the screens go off. I even heard people where they say, don't even have overhead lights in your house after, you know, dusk. You should try to keep all the lighting low because it confuses your brain. When you have lights overhead, it thinks it's the sun. So it's like 9 o'clock at night and you got some, you know, fan light on in your living room and your brain's going, is it the middle of the day again? You know, and it helps you, you know, it's hard to fall asleep. I don't know how extreme you want to get with it. And look, this is just me just kind of throwing a few things out there. There are whole resources, you know, hours of podcasts, entire books, YouTube channels, all kinds of things out there that are devoted to this topic. You should look into it for yourself, okay? And try to incorporate some of these things. I'm just kind of throwing out some things this morning about how to get over heaviness, how to alleviate in our lives. And because, yes, a lot of depression and things are the result of, you know, our neurology, well, the good news is that we can actually manipulate our neurology. We can actually keep it in check. We can actually do things that will affect it. That's good news. It's not something that's completely beyond our control. I understand there's instances probably in which it is, okay, that where there has to be some kind of other intervention. But for most of us, something as simple as just getting on a regular sleep pattern with the rest of the world would be great. You can do that by adjusting your circadian rhythm, get that low-angle light at least in the morning, ideally at both times of the day, at dawn and at dusk. No screens. You know, I'm terrible about this, just like everybody else probably in the room, you know, but if we were all doing it right, we would all probably say no screens after 7 or whatever and just fall asleep. Good luck with that one, you know, do or don't do it, I don't know. Let me move on to the next practical point here, okay? We dealt with sleep. Get a regular sleep pattern. Here's one everyone's going to love. If you love that one, you're really going to like this. Regular exercise. regular exercise. Okay, I'll move on. All right. Right, but I think the reason why people don't like it when you bring that one up, because, yeah, exercise is not fun, but, you know, if we're smart, we'll do it. It's not fun, but I think a lot of times people think, like, when you say, hey, you should get some regular exercise, we're thinking, like, you know, some Rocky montage immediately comes to your mind where you're supposed to be out in some barn in Russia, like, doing sit-ups, you know, from an inverted position or something and pulling a dog sled or, you know, and the Eye of the Tiger comes on and you're just, you know, doing all these fancy footwork. No. Like, you got to get some rope and you're, you know, doing the whole thing and you're bobbing and weaving. Something as simple as walking for 20 to 30 minutes. You know, sometimes, you see people, they want to lose weight, they get real excited, so they go to this just extremes with their, you know, they go from doing literally nothing to, like, I'm going to run, like, you know, X amount of miles. It's like, when was the last time you walked 20 minutes? When was the last time you just went, and I'm not saying that in a condescending way, I'm just saying, you know, because I kind of have to keep that in check, too, is that, you know, sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm going to get serious about my exercise, you know, and you just immediately go, I'm going to walk for 2 miles every day. I'm going to, you know, bench and deadlift and squat, you know, 500 pounds and half my body weight. And I'm going to swim 3 laps, you know, whatever. You know, we come up with all this crazy stuff. It's like, whoa, Turbo, you know, take a chill pill and just start easy. Ease into it. And I've noticed this, too, in the fitness world, right, the fitness influencers and things like that. Walking has suddenly become, there's people that are literally become infants, they're live streaming them walking on a treadmill. They're like, hey, look what I did just walking. It's like, are we that far removed? And are we that soft in our culture now where, like, walking is this profound thing? I don't know, but I mean, I remember when I growing up, like, all through high school, you know, I mean, even as a kid, like, we walked everywhere. You walked to 7-Eleven, you didn't have a car, you rode a bike, you know, you went out and played with your friends, you walked everywhere, we walked down to the bay. I would, you know, all through high school, I walked several miles one way to get to high, you know, uphill, both ways, in the snow. I sound like that old guy right now, but literally, we did. We know we walked everywhere as kids. And I don't know if that's just something that's kind of fallen by the wayside to where now there's a whole generation of people are walking up, waking up, growing up, too many W's, and saying, you know, I've heard about this thing walking. We should do more of that, you know. It's bizarre, but I guess that's where we're at. You know, walking to weightlifting, I'm not discouraging you. If you want to do more. It all works. And you know why it works? It's because it releases endorphins in your body. No one likes the idea, you know, I mean, when I try to work out in the mornings, believe it or not, okay, I'm sure you could tell, but it's a joke, right? But, you know, I, my wife sometimes, I'm sure she's noticed, you know, I'll drink my coffee, and then I'll just kind of, I'll lean over, and I'll just be, like, rubbing my head, and I'll be doing this, like, and I look like there's this real internal struggle going on. You know what it is? It's me trying to convince myself to go work out. It's me times like, it's like, yeah, go outside, stretch, grab your kettlebells, do your routine. You know, it's like, but you know what's funny is as soon as I'm like in the middle of that workout or as soon as I'm done with it, I feel great. But whenever I do that, I always try to just stop and go, remember this feeling. Don't remember the feeling, you know, 45 minutes ago when you were, you know, staring at your walking shoes going, I hate you. You know, don't think about that. How much you loathe the idea of it. Just think about how good you feel when you get it done. And look, everyone who's ever done it knows that that's you get these endorphins, these feel-good hormones are released in your body when you exercise. You know, and that's a really good way to snap yourself out of a low point or a depression, at least temporarily. You know, because if you just go, like, if you never work out, like, exercise is not a thing you do, exercising just by the virtue of doing something completely different will help you deal with depression. It really will. And look, it doesn't even have to be exercise. I mean, I remember I was looking for advice on this one time, how to get out of a rut. Because if you think about it, that's kind of what depression is. It's like this real low point that you're just stuck in and you can't get out of. You're just in a rut. You know, and they said, hey, just go do anything that you don't would never normally do. Just break the pattern up. You know, open the shades and let the sunlight in. Or, you know, this guy recommended, you know, go get in a lake. No matter what time of year, he literally said, go jump in a lake. You know, that's kind of like a, you know, something we say to insult somebody. But, you know, he's like, I was just feeling really low, and I just went, and it was, you know, January or whatever it was, and like it was spring in Canada, I think it was where this guy lived, and he's getting in a lake. And he said it just broke up the pattern to make him feel good. You know, if you were into that, you could even do the cold plunge thing. A lot of people are into that. That's been proven to release a lot of dopamine for extended hours at a time. That's not really my thing. But, you know, you could just exercise. And by exercise, you don't have to do this crazy stuff. It could be something as simply as just waking up in the morning, kill two birds with one stone, go out and when the sun's coming up and walk for 20 minutes, get an audio Bible, have your devotions during your walk. Go put in some earbuds, listen to Scorby on the phone, and just walk and watch the sun come up. Or don't listen to the Bible, listen to the birds. You know, wave to your neighbor and say good morning. And just break that up. You'll get the low angle light, you'll get some exercising, you'll get some endorphins. It'll probably change your whole outlook, at least on that day. So, I know this is an exhaustive list, but these are some generic ideas. How about this? Listen to things that are uplifting. Listen to things that are uplifting. You know, if you find someone who's depressed, yeah, I'd be interested to see what their playlist is. You know, it's like all this dark, depressing music, right? Or it's just all about loss and, you know, grief or whatever. It's like, good night. I think I found out what the problem is. You know, put some hymns on. You know, put some instrumental music on. Listen to some classical. You know, listen to something that actually uplifts your spirit as far as music. I mean, think about Saul, right? When the evil spirit plagued him from the Lord, David came with his harp and played, and it brought him relief from that, right? The evil spirit departed. Now, I'm not saying that what you might be going through is the result of an evil spirit, but, you know, music is a very powerful thing. Music is an incredibly powerful thing. It's not something we should take lightly. We should listen to things that uplift us if we're going through depression, okay? Or listen to maybe a podcast that uplifts you. Listen to something educational. Listen to something that's going to make you smarter. Look, I'm not against people listening to the murder mysteries and stuff like that, or people the true crime stuff. I don't listen to it because I'd get way too into it myself. You know, I don't have the time to get into that. Like, I've been there. I've watched the interrogation videos and, you know, and all that stuff. I get it. It's cool. But you know what? When you're depressed, when you're going through a low point, when you're dealing with heaviness in your life, that's probably not the time to, you know, listen to the case about the guy who murdered his whole family and stuffed them all in a barrel or something. That's probably not a good time to listen to that kind of stuff. Right? Because, I mean, even when you're not going through heaviness and you listen to some of these stories, it's like you feel depressed, right? Here's one that's in the news right now. Everyone wants the Epstein list, you know, that whole debacle. I don't even want to get into it. It's like I'm tired of even realizing it's a thing anymore. Like I'm just tuning out because I don't even want to think about the kind of stuff that's going on and all the implications of it not being released or all this stuff. You know, and then they start going into everything that Hillary Clinton was into and Pizzagate and all that. It's just like, ugh. You know, I'm not even, you know, going through a season of heaviness in my life. And even when I listen to that stuff or you hear about it, it's just like, ugh. And the Bible says it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We shouldn't be dwelling on those things, okay? And again, I'm not, you know, if you can listen to some story or podcast, you're into that stuff, I'm not saying that it's necessarily wrong. It's probably just not a good idea when you're depressed, when you're going through heaviness, to, you know, tune in and listen to stories about sociopaths and psychopaths and just the scum of the world and all their evil, rotten deeds. You know, keeping up on the courthouse television or something like that. What is that channel? Remember that channel where they had all the, it wasn't C-SPAN, although that's a whole other source of depression right there, but it was the, you know, court TV, right? That was a thing for a while. Turn that off, you know, go to the Weather Channel and listen to light jazz or whatever they're playing. I don't know if they still do that, right? You know, listen to something that's, you know, just mellow or just benign, lighthearted, and you know, something that'll uplift you. Read a book. Right? This is a lost art, right? Read a book that maybe doesn't deal with dark subject matter. You know, maybe that's an inspiring tale or something that about the I like stories about, and maybe this is kind of borderline if you're going through heaviness, I like survival stories. I like to hear about men who overcame great difficulties and hardships, you know, right? I'm not recommending that, but, you know, it does kind of inspire you to read about the indomitability of the human spirit, right? It reminds you that, you know, people have overcome harder things. You know, read something that'll uplift you. That's my point. Here's another one, okay? Make yourself useful to others. And if you would, go to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Paul said in Acts 20, he said, "As I have showed you all things, how so laboring, we ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" One way we could deal with our depression or we could heal from our heaviness is to get the focus off of ourselves and to start focusing on others. Make yourself useful to other people. Get a job, okay? Now, I know that's not going to be the case for everybody. You know, if you're a mother and a wife and a stay-at-home mom, you already got a job, okay? You're already working. I get it. But, you know, some of the most depressing times in my life have been the times where I've in between jobs. And there have been very few of those instances. I think the last time that ever happened was when we first moved here. There was maybe a couple of weeks where I was just looking. And I mean looking. Calling, emailing, going physically to the places, asking for work. And, of course, that whole process takes time before you finally get to work. But I remember being miserable, having literal physical body aches from it. My back hurt. I'm not even working. My back's hurting. It's like, what in the world, right? That doesn't make sense. That's usually the other way around, right? Because, you know, this is maybe more for the men, because we as men are built to be people who work. We need to feel useful to other people. We need to sacrifice. That's just our nature. And when we're not doing that, you know, we'll either, one, become incredibly depressed, or two, we'll fill that void with a bunch of other garbage and nonsense, which really probably just all stacks up to us being selfish. I'm not against people having hobbies and doing things, but those should not be the bulk of our lives as men. Our lives should not revolve around our hobbies, okay? Our lives should revolve around our families, our work, our ministry, that kind of a thing, okay? You know, and get a job for, you know, more than just that. You know, we should be working anyway. But maybe even if we're not in a place where we work, volunteering is something we could do. And I'm saying this because that makes you useful to other people. And I just got done reading in Acts 20 where Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Right? It's better to support the weak than to always be somebody who always needs lifted up, always needs support, and, you know, and is always counting on others to lift them up. Maybe we would get over our depression and deal with it better if we went and helped other people. You know, and I just, you know, I was writing the sermon, I just went online, you know, just opened up Google and just said, you know, volunteer opportunities Tucson. And it was just like, there was one particular, I mean, Pima County has a bunch of stuff, there's all kinds of things. There's like meetup groups, and there was one, I don't know what the site was, but there was like 438 opportunities listed. It's just like, you could go find, and look, I get some of it would be pretty stupid, but some of it would probably be really good. You know, go stack whatever they do at a food bank. You know, go fill grocery bags. Go do something. I'm not saying you got to do it 40 hours a week. But what if you got out of your house one day out of the week and just went and to a Salvation Army? Don't listen to their doctrine. You know, go to a Goodwill. Go to the, you know, the Arizona Community Food Bank. Pitch in there. Habitat for Humanity, you know, obviously we're not going to agree with everything philosophically and doctrinally, I get that, but it's like, just for the sake of feeling useful and getting your mind off of yourself and your own problems, go help other people. You'll be a blessing to your community, you'll be a resource to your community, you'll profit them, and you might even realize that you actually don't have it as bad as a lot of other people do. You know, and obviously the knee-jerk one here is just to say, go soul winning. But soul winning is our duty, okay? And look, obviously, if you want to just do more soul winning, by all means, do that. I think that's a great... But let's face it, that's not always going to, you know, lift us up. Sometimes maybe we just need to go work with our hands, go do something, and just do something more, you know, utilitarian in nature, if that's the right word. Something more mechanical, I guess. No, but maybe even the soul winning thing would help a lot. If we're going through depression, why don't you go soul winning on one of, you know, they're doing the res trips up in Phoenix again now. Go out to, you know, the Window Rock. Go out to the Navajo Reservation. Go down here to the Tohono O'odham. I mean, we bump right up against it. And you'll go home and say, yeah, I don't have it that bad. There's some people that have it a lot worse. And that's not a knock on the reservations, you know, respectively. That's just the way it is, okay? Go to Mexico, right? Now, be careful if you're going to do that. But anyway, you get my point. Volunteer. Look at Philippians chapter number 2, verse 4. I know we all know it. Verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things. And this is the danger with depression. This is what's harmful about heaviness, is that we get tunnel vision. It just becomes all about us and our problems, and we just go round and round in our heads. Right? Sometimes we need to just get our eyes off ourselves, get our minds off ourselves, and start thinking about other people, find ways to give rather than to receive. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. This is the mind Christ had. This was his perspective. This is how he conducted himself. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made after the likeness in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Notice verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Look, I'm not saying God's going to highly exalt you to the point where you're going to have a name that's above every name. Obviously, that's for Christ alone. But there's this principle here that if we get our minds off ourselves and we humble, and that's probably the reason why a lot of people won't do it, is because of pride. They don't want to stoop to that level of volunteering and just being another cog in a wheel at some, you know, nonprofit or something like that. You know, if we would humble ourselves and just become servants, you know, we would be lifted out of our what? Depression. Our low point. Our spirit would be exalted. I believe that. I know I got to wrap up. So those are my points thus far as, you know, the practical part of the sermon, which obviously is making up the bulk of the sermon this morning. Get your sleep fixed. You know, if you haven't figured that out, don't even bother with the rest of this. I mean it. It's that important. If you're not, don't have a regular sleep pattern, start there, because you're just sabotaging everything else if you don't get good sleep. Get your exercise in. Doesn't have to be some wild, crazy exercise. Just go for a walk. Listen to things that are uplifting. Don't listen to things that are depressing. You don't need that. You're not struggling in that area. Make yourself useful to other people. Volunteer. Snap the cycle, okay? Do something out of the ordinary. I already touched on this. Go for a hike. Take a vacation. Hey, go to Tempe one Sunday and attend church up there. Just do something different. Just break it up. Break up the routine once. Because, you know, sometimes that's how I get. I just feel like, man, it's every day. It's the same thing. I get up at the same time and I have the, you know, five days out of the week, I literally have the exact same thing for breakfast, the exact same thing for lunch, and it's delicious. I love it. I'll never change it, right? That makes dinner always a treat because dinner is kind of on a rotation, so you kind of know what to expect day to day. Plus, your body gets better at absorbing it and everything. That's a whole other sermon. If you eat the same thing about the same time every day, okay, a little nutrition advice there. I'm probably not one to dole that out, but there you go. But, you know, you get that feeling like I go to the same job, you know, it's just the same thing on repeat every day. That can be a bit of a grind. So if we have opportunity, I understand that we don't all do, but when the opportunity does present itself, maybe break the cycle up a little bit. Go for a hike. And look, I'm not, again, you don't have to go hike Mount Lemmon. You know, there's lots of, and I know it's kind of hot, maybe this isn't the best advice this time of year, but there's, you know, there's some nice, easy hikes. I mean, we're surrounded by all kinds of great trails. Go to Patagonia and go to the Audubon Society's habitat there and just watch some hummingbirds for a Saturday afternoon. Get in nature. Go to the Sonoran Desert Museum. I mean, I have a, you know, of I don't know if you want to call it a fantasy or a vision or I guess a hope that one day when I'm an elderly man that I can actually volunteer there. You know, our plan is, you know, once we're empty nesters, to just buy one of these townhouses right behind Teresa's Mosaic, that restaurant, so we can have huevos rancheros every morning, right? And then I can, you know, be right there and on the national park, and I can volunteer at the desert museum. You know, I love that place. I remember there was a time when I was going through some depression in my life. I went to that museum, and it was, you know, at least in the moment, it was very uplifting. You know, really lifted me up and really helped me a lot. So, you know, maybe that's not for you. Find something that is. My point is, break it up. Go have an experience. Hey, go on a cruise. You know, go on one of these soul-winning cruises that all these churches are doing. Go on a missions trip to the Bahamas if you can. Go do something out of the ordinary. Get out of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, it might lift you up. I mean, that there's, you know, you're checking several boxes there if you do something like that. And I get it. We can't all do that. Get a fresh start. My last point is this, and if you would, go to Matthew chapter 11. I'll end there. This might be the problem with a lot of people that are going through depression. They're not right with God. Well, a lot of times people are calling depression, it might just be conviction. It might be the Holy Spirit. It might be a lack of joy. It might be God taking His Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's all of these things, okay, that we want in our lives. And if we don't have it, maybe it's because we're not right with God. So, you know, I've done all these things. Well, do you have some big sin in your life? Maybe it's something, maybe it's not what you are doing. Maybe it's something you're not doing that you're supposed to be doing for God. Maybe you're not giving God, you know, any time out of your day. Get right with God. Sin will bring you down, right? And there's so many stories about that. You think about the story of Jonah when he's backsliding. If you notice that story, he goes down to Nineveh. Then he goes down in the boat. And then he goes down in the whale's belly, right? He just goes down farther and farther and farther down as he gets farther and farther and farther away from God. Sin and getting out of sorts with God just brings us lower into depression as Christians, because the Holy Spirit is taken from us. Not, we're still sealed, but we don't have the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance that's promised us through the fruits of the Spirit. Get right with God. You know, hey, yeah, maybe I'm saying that this morning. I don't know. Maybe I'm saying this morning, and boom, something's immediately coming to your mind. You're like, ah, that's it right there. I've got this sin in my life. Confess that sin to God and forsake it. He that confesseth and forsaketh the sin shall have mercy. You know, God will, you know, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess it, forsake it, and allow God to restore the joy in your life. Because here's the thing. God wants you to be at peace this morning. God understands that we're going to go through depression, we're going to have heaviness in our lives just because of the events of life, right? There's going to be major milestones, there's going to be things that happen to us where depression and heaviness and sorrow are perfectly natural. It'd be concerning if you didn't, right? It's what's expected, okay? But if it's something that we're just chronically, all the time, depressed, you know, we got to ask ourselves, why is it? It might be something physiological. It might be our sleep. You know, it might be our diet. It might be our exercise or lack thereof, right? It might be the things that we're taking in, all the news and all the horror stories, all the horrific things that are just happening in the world, and we're just dwelling on that 24/7. It might be the things that we're entertaining ourselves with. And it might be because we have sin in our lives. It might be because we're not right with God, either through the things that we are doing or the things that we're leaving undone. Because the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. It's not enough to say, well, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Great. You know, I'm not committing adultery on my wife. You know, I haven't killed anybody. I'm not looting and raping and pillaging. You know, well, good, I'm glad. But are you doing everything else you're supposed to be doing? Are you doing the Bible reading, the prayer, the soul winning, the things I preach about and bring up all the time? Are we doing it? The church attendance, so on and so forth. That might be the source where God, because those are things that God expects of us. Not just the pastor, that's why I preach it, because God expects these things. To not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, to go into all the world to preach the gospel of every creature, to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. Jesus said, when ye pray. Like, these are the things we're supposed to be doing. These are the fundamentals of the Christian life. If we're not doing them, then don't sit there and expect to have the joy of the Lord in your life either. And that really might be the cause of some of our chronic depression and heaviness in our lives, the things that we're not doing, because these things are sources of joy in our lives. It's a joyful thing when you go and you get someone saved. It's a joyful thing when you preach the gospel and someone believes on Christ sincerely from their heart and you know that their eternity is forever changed. I mean, that's the greatest joy I know. The Bible says that the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. People that are just cumbered down with care, that are carrying a load, that are buckling beneath all the burdens that life thrusts upon us. You know, the heavy laden that we have, that we carry. He says, come unto me and I will what? Give you rest. And say, let me throw some more on there, right? Come unto me and I'll just push you even further down. No, God wants us to be at rest. He wants us to have peace. But, God's not going to just wave a magic wand, okay? If that's the way we feel about things, what you're looking for is the pill. What you're looking for is some, pharmacist to fix your problems. God's not a pharmacist, in that sense. He's going to say, hey, yeah, let me take this load off of you, but notice this, take my yoke upon you. God's not saying, let me just break this yoke from off your back and just go do whatever you want. No, he's saying, quit being burdened down with everything else. All these other things that are burdening you and bringing you down and depressing you and making you heavy. Come to me, unload those things, and let me put my yoke upon you. Do the things that I've commanded you. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and what? And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't say my yoke is non-existent and my burden, there is no such thing. He's saying, no, my yoke, my burden, the things that I have for you to do, they're easier and lighter than the world. The way of the transgressor is hard. Okay? But perfect peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So when we love God and love his word and do those things which are commanded of us, we're actually unloading ourselves of the world's burdens and taking on God's. And he's saying, look, that's a light burden, and that's where you find peace and rest for your souls. Get right with God this morning. That might be it, So hopefully this helps, with anyone that may or may not be suffering with heaviness in their lives or depression. And again, I know it's not a cure-all. I know it's not exhaustive, everything that I touched on, but I believe these are some real practical things. Simple, basic things that if we would just begin to implement some of these just elementary, fundamental, simple things in our lives, and the hardest part of all is consistency, doing it on a consistent basis, not, oh, I tried that for a few days and didn't work. No, you have to be consistent. I started taking those multivitamins for a whole 3 days and I didn't feel any different. Well, take them for 3 months. And when your immune system is strong and you haven't gotten sick in months, you might go, well, maybe it is that. Maybe it is all the extra nutrition and vitamins that I'm getting. You understand what I'm saying? You have to do things for a while for them to really affect you. You have to rewire your neurology. That takes time. It takes consistent effort day in and day out. And look, that's not the quick, easy answer, but it's the effective one. It's the one that works. It's the one that will help us deal with depression and heaviness. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, again, thank you. For the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning, Lord, I pray that something that was preached would be edifying to your people, that we would apply these things in our lives, Lord, and that we could find the peace and the joy that we all seek, and Lord, that you desire to give us in our lives. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we are dismissed.
Please grab your hymnals and turn to song number 4.